So, welcome to today's exploration into the source material. Imagine you're playing a game of cards, right?
Right.
And the house realizes you're about to win.
Right. But they don't just fold.
Exactly. They don't fold. Instead, they just declare that the suit you're holding is like a literal crime. You aren't just out of the game, you are suddenly an enemy of the state.
Which is a terrifying thought,
It
honestly.
really is. And today we're diving into that exact dynamic. It's the heresy card. We're unpacking a collection of scholarly analyses from this book, Religion, Power, and Resistance.
Yeah, and it really shows how between the 11th and 16th centuries, heresy was, well, it was way less about theology and much more about who was currently in charge.
Right, like a political weapon. So let's start with how they actually pulled this off legally. Because they changed the rules to make this unblockable, didn't they?
Oh, absolutely. The legal system itself was basically rigged. You see this perfectly in the 1431 trial of Joan of Arc.
Oh, wow, yeah. The classic example.
Bishop Cauchon didn't just want her gone, he needed a strictly legal way to do it. So he bypassed standard due process, which is called the ordo juris.
Okay, so he skipped the actual evidence part.
Exactly. He used this legal concept called publica fama, which basically means public fame or, notoriety.
I mean, that sounds a lot like a modern trial by social media.
That is exactly what it is. Because everyone says, you're a heretic, that rumor is the probable cause. And since they couldn't execute Joan for just being a really good soldier, they pivoted.
Right, they went after the mayor clothing she wore, which, if I remember the sources right, church law, like the Council of Gangra Canons, only forbade cross-dressing for immoral reasons.
Yes, exactly. But the court reframed her fashion choice as idolatry.
Wait, idolatry. That feels like a massive leap to go from clothes to imitating Gentile rites.
It is a huge leap. But they needed a faith-based spiritual death sentence. The political need to kill her created the theological crime, not the other way around.
Man, so if you didn't have friends in high places like Joan, you were basically a dead woman walking.
Pretty much, yeah.
But then the sources mention guys who did survive, like Gilbert of Poitiers.
Ah, Gilbert is a fascinating contrast. He got dragged into court by Bernard of Clairvaux, who is this massive rhetorical powerhouse.
But Gilbert fought back with was basically a wall of text defense.
Yeah, he really did. He showed up with these massive, heavy physical volumes of Orthodox father texts.
Just totally buried the judges in citations.
Yeah, he survived because the definition of truth often came down to who could, perform orthodoxy better. The judges just couldn't find a gap in his armor.
Which makes me wonder, were these judges actually interested in heresy at all? Or was the theology just a, I don't know, a fig leaf to protect secular interests?
Well, often it was just a fig leaf. I mean, look at John Wycliffe in England. He had the ultimate shield.
Royal protection, right, from John of Gaunt.
Exactly. When the Pope tried to have Wycliffe arrested, his supporters just said, hey, arresting a king's man on papal authority alone violates English law.
So if you have secular power backing you, the church's rules just suddenly don't apply.
Right. The heresy card hits a brick wall. But then you have cases where the rules completely break down, like with Jan Hus.
Oh, at the Council of Constance. This part of the source material is wild.
It is, because by 1415, the papal schism was a total mess. You had three different men claiming to be pope.
So the council had to prove they were the ultimate authority.
Yes, and Hus was the perfect sacrifice for that. He didn't have Wycliffe's shield. His actual crime was contumacy, which is just a fancy legal term for stubbornness or disobedience.
Right, and the cost of his life was literal money. This is the crazy part to me. The sources show that higher clergy in Prague raised a voluntary tax.
Yeah, anywhere from 53,000 to 200,000 florins.
Just specifically to fund the delegation that ensured he was burned at the stake. I mean, it wasn't even a trial, it was a crowdsourced hit.
It really was. The system decided that its own survival was way more important than the truth of his claims.
Man, so heresy really was just a gamble. A mix of individual belief, academic rivalry, and, imperial propaganda.
Absolutely, a completely rigged game.
So I want to leave everyone with a final thought from all this. If Jan Hus had just been willing to obey a corrupt authority for the sake of unity, would the Western world look totally different today? Or is this heresy card just an inevitable feature of any system where power feels threatened? Definitely something to mull over until next time.